Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570. South of Baltimore, we are Baltimore Positive. I'm wearing my Costas shirt. I thought only Pete got to wear the Pete shirt. I said, that's a good-looking Pete shirt. Looks a little weird against my backdrop here at Baltimore Positive, but my thanks to Costas. And we're going to be getting out there next month, as well as getting all over the area, actually. It's our 27th anniversary. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Curio Wellness. I'll be giving away the Pressure Luck scratch offs. I also have the Lucky Seven Doublers. We'll begin on the 7th at Beaumont in Catonsville. I'll be at Mako in Ocean City, and then we're doing the full term. We're going to be at Sláinte in Fells Point. We're going to be at Coco's. We're going to be at Fadley's, doing a little baseball with Luke as well, and all month long. So make sure you're checking that out. All the information up at Baltimore Positive, including baseball. We've got trading deadline happening here. We had the death of Hulk Hogan. I've been revisiting all sorts of stuff here. It's summertime, but we got training camp happening. Luke's been out in Owings Mills for the first couple of days of training camp out there. Going to get a little hotter into the weekend, a little more muggy as well, but not the two-a-days. And I've been referencing Flacco saying it's a kinder, gentler version of all this, but you've been around for all of this, and now the fans being a part of this, and it was kind of awkward. Harbaugh's getting asked about Donald Trump, and all I could hear is screaming kids. And it's a different thing when they're performing for fans, right? Like, than it is when it's you and Jameson and Zrebeck on the backfields and on November 18th when it's 42 degrees and raining.
Yeah, and in those settings, we're typically taking attendance and they're ushering us inside, which I'm not minding at that point in time. I'm not sure I want to sit out there in that kind of temperature and watch 2 hour practice, but it's exciting. Look, I mean, expectations are high for this team. We know that. We've talked about it. You and I talked recently. If it's not the best roster in the NFL, it's on the very short list, right? I mean, it's on the short list of one of the two or three best rosters in the NFL, I think, pretty easily. But we also know that, when you're hearing that, you're hearing them being one of the Super Bowl favorites. When you look at the sports books, they're on the short list there. It's very Groundhog Day-like, right? From the standpoint of in this era when Lamar Jackson has been healthy, they have had a great chance to not just make the playoffs, but to make a run. And it hasn't happened to this point in time. So when that happens, you're going to get a lot of the perception that it's Super Bowl or bust, right? And, not necessarily saying that that's what it is in 2025, but it's very much if not now, when? If not now, when? If not now, when? I mean, so you know that there are some big contracts that are going to be needing to be addressed here, including Lamar's when he has a, I think his cap number balloons to 74 million next year. They need to redo the deal. And, we're going to see what happens with Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely and Kyle Hamilton, even though I have no expectation that Kyle Hamilton's going anywhere, but you have to pay him a lot of money to keep him. So you look at this and you look at the Kyle Van Noy's where, is this his last year in Baltimore? What's going to happen with Oweh? So you always look at it, and this happens every year. This go all the way back to 2019, Lamar's first MVP season when the Ravens looked unbeatable from about mid-October on that year. Marshall Yanda, that was his last year. We found that out pretty quickly after the Ravens lost to the Titans that January. So all of that lies ahead, but as the headline recently read at BaltimorePositive.com, the Ravens can't win the Super Bowl in July. They can't win the Super Bowl in August. And in the meantime, you've got to go to work and you can't get complacent and you've got to put in the necessary work. And you're keeping your fingers crossed and saying a prayer every day that your guys stay healthy and you don't have any more catastrophic injuries. You don't want to lose any more Ardarius Washington even, type players even. In those first few days when they're ramping up, the pads haven't even come on yet. It's great to see everyone running around. Guys are excited. It was great to hear from Jaire Alexander. You've seen him play to the crowd when he's made a couple plays in coverage, and that's all well and good. But right now you're laying the groundwork, right? I mean, you're trying to put in the work you need to put in and get a little bit better every day, and you're trying to do that with the first thought being, Buffalo, week one, right? And understanding you're going to have 16 more of those and hopefully a few more after that, but a long way to go. But yes, officially underway. And given the backdrop of the baseball season that we've all suffered through, it's a welcome change being able to talk about some football, albeit still a long ways away from the real thing.
Yeah, I'm in my fourth year of being deposed after being involved for 26 years, going to the games or going to practices, going back to Westminster and Bulgers and eating some, peach pancakes to start my day, and up at McDaniel College and even Western Maryland College. It goes back that far. It's all changed, and the amount of camp bodies that were around. The amount of opportunity for a guy, a Will Demps, a Justin Tucker was an unsigned guy. The opportunities that lie for guys we haven't heard of, or Eric didn't brag about on draft night, or they always have some local kid they signed who played at Maryland who's got a chance for this or that or whatever. They've cut down on the games now, so only three of them. Nobody plays, kind of, sort of, at all. The beat 'em up practices that they have the day before that always create these fights and all that intra squad gathering scrimmages to the whistle, all of that, bodies moving around out there in camp bodies. It almost feels like there's less football for them to play, and it almost feels sort of perfunctory that you're a not, you're an R. Is there really an opportunity for camp bodies in this environment?
I mean, there is, but I think some of it is, some of it lends itself to what you just mentioned. And I think, COVID, those first couple COVID seasons where, things were very different then. And I think what 2020, I think that was actually the year when their streak, remember, they had years and years and years of a rookie free agent making the initial 53-man roster. That was the year it was snapped, just because it was different. So, of course, it's changed. I can think back to even, my first couple training camps. I mean, this is training camp 17 for me covering it, going back to 2009. I covered the last two training camps in Westminster, and what it was then compared to now. I mean, in some ways it's unrecognizable, but they'll hit. There'll be plenty of opportunities for rookie free agents to make their mark. But I think as it pertains to 2025, I mean, it's a pretty good roster, as we've mentioned. 11 draft picks, returning 10 of 11 starters on offense. Patrick McCary is the only starter gone from last year's offense. You've only a couple starters gone from last year's defense, right? So there's always going to be, the question of just how many roster spots are really open. And that's where it is tough. But hey, I asked John Harbaugh on what, I think it was Thursday. I'll give you right off the bat a rookie free agent just to keep an eye on. And you know what? I may never talk about him the rest of the summer, so I'll give him his flowers now because he had a nice spring. Reuben Lowry, a corner slash safety who, I get it. I'm the first to tell you, spring football, you're in shorts, helmets, no pads. He was around the football a lot, and I'll give him credit. I mean, as rookie free agents go, I've mentioned his name a couple times in writing, and I'm mentioning it to you on the radio. I may not utter his name again all summer, so there you go, right? So I even gave you a name, but that part of it's still fun. It still does happen. There still are rookie free agents. I mean, for as much as we've talked about Tyler Loop, the sixth round pick that the what we assume is going to be the heir apparent to Justin Tucker, they have John Hoyland in camp, an undrafted kicker from Wyoming who had a really nice day, the second practice of camp, made every kick. So you have that. And, sometimes it's a guy that spends a year on the practice squad. And then Matt Skura was a great example of that, a guy that was in anonymity until he wasn't anymore, and then suddenly became a starting caliber center for a few years. So you always
Well,
have
that
some
was
of that.
Bart Scott. That was Mike
Yeah,
Flynn. That was,
exactly.
there's a lot of those guys
So,
through the course. Priest Holmes. Yeah.
right. And so, I mentioned Reuben Lowry just more as an example. I'm not going to sit here with any strong conviction saying that, yeah, I think he's going to make the team. I have
But if
no
there's
idea.
anything to
But
discuss a couple of days into this, all these asses and elbows, everybody's running around out there in different jerseys. It sort of feels like if I said, do you give me to 53 right now, you could count me to 49 or 50, right?
Yeah,
Quickly,
I
very
mean,
quickly.
you know me. I'm constantly doing roster projections. I did one at the start of camp on Wednesday. I launched it right before
It's
practice
your little,
started.
like, people do mock drafts. It's your thing. It's your thing.
I mean, think Steve Kornacki, right? I mean, we see him now doing, he does the election stuff. We see him now doing the playoff stuff for Sunday Night Football. That's me. I'm doing 53-man roster projections. I don't think I've ever gotten it perfect. I think the best, maybe I've done 52 out of 53 a couple
It's
years.
pretty good.
I should do okay, right? I mean, I'd hope to think I see know a little bit of what I'm watching. I mean, I'm not certainly not a expert coach or scout or anything, but I think I said, and look, the number I said was 46 players to me or very comfortably on the roster, I would say. Maybe not a lock, but they'd have to really play themselves off the roster. And truth is, Nestor, and this is from talking to, whether it's coaches or executive, scouts, whatever, a lot of times they'll go in the camp and it might be 50 spots, realistically speaking, are set. And maybe there's two or three spots. Now, obviously, there's a kicker spot that is to be determined, but they know that there's going to be a kicker on this team, whether it's one of these two rookies or whether it's go signing a veteran, because neither of these guys pan out. So you have a little bit of that going on, but yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say that I think that there's 25 guys on the bubble right now and it's wide open. It's not because you got a really good roster. And what's wild about this, and this is a credit to the organization, I mean, just look at the percentage of homegrown guys on this roster. I mean, yes, we talked about Jaire Alexander and we've talked about DeAndre Hopkins. And, there's some other veteran types that have brought, Kyle Van Noy is a great example. But for the most part, you kind of go down the roster and it's shocking how many guys are homegrown compared to the percentages that you see around the league, even
Well,
with
they
other teams.
talk about it. I mean, back when Bisciotti would talk, he would always say, the draft is our lifeline, and that is how we get players. That's how we make football players. We draft 8 to 12 of them every year in the hopes that 6 to 8 of them stick around for the first 3 years. That's 24 players. And then you have the 10 extra guys that have been around 5, 6, 7, 8 years. That gets you to 36. And then the rest of them, you sign Kyle Van Noy and you make a trade and you find an Ardarius Washington come through and develop. And that's how they've been a double digit win team here for a long time.
I mean, look at their for all the talk we've all the oxygen we've spent on the offensive line the last couple of years. I mean, look at their projected starting offensive line for week one. Ronnie Stanley, homegrown. Voorhees, homegrown. Linderbaum, homegrown. Falele, homegrown. Rosengarten, homegrown. The guy that Voorhees is replacing, Patrick McCary, homegrown as a
Oh,
former
and
rookie
actually,
free
three out
agent.
of those five are, top 60 picks.
So some of them are early picks. Some of them are guys that, in Voorhees' case, that was a unique circumstance. Remember, he tore his ACL at the combine. It's
Yeah,
why,
they thought he would have been a top 60.
they thought he would have been a mid-round, like a fourth round kind of guy, most likely. So, but that's just one position group. I mean, you look at it, okay, in the secondary, yeah, they brought in Jaire Alexander, but Marlon Humphrey, homegrown, Kyle Hamilton, homegrown, Nate Wiggins, homegrown, Malachi Starks, they hope is going to be maybe not the next Ed Reed, but hopefully the next,
Roquan Smith stolen from the Bears.
They it's all about developing your own guys. So that's why, how can you not look at the rookie free agents and say, is there going to be a diamond in the rough there? Is it going to be, maybe it's a defensive lineman, that kind of fills out the back of their depth chart at the D line where they're replacing Michael Pierce and Brent Urban's no longer on the roster. So,
Feels like Brent Urban was here with Billick.
I mean, what, 2014 was the year he was drafted. I mean, now he left and then came back. Michael Pierce left and came back. You look at this team. I mean, it is so homegrown. They have 11 draft picks, all the sixth round picks. I'm guessing not all those guys are going to make the roster. I'm guessing a couple of them are going to get waived and maybe they wind up on the practice squad. But yeah, it's tough. I mean, it is. If I'm mentioning Ruben Lowry just as an example of someone who's caught my eye a little bit, but Do I really think he's going to make the team? No, but hey, he's got a chance to maybe put himself in the conversation. So, but early on in camp, especially now, the biggest difference now, beyond what you mentioned when you're talking about going way back, and we're so far removed from two-a-days at this point in time, is they have this more deliberate ramp up now. These first few days of camp, if I'm being honest with you, they more closely resemble the end of OTAs and mandatory mini camp than training camp, where you're really talking about, putting on the pads and hitting for the first time. I mean, that'll come next week. These first 4 days are really kind of the ramp up. They practice an hour and a half on Wednesday. It was an hour and 45 minutes Thursday. They'll have a couple 2 hour practices. And then next week, they'll get into 2 hours 30 minutes, 2 hours 40 minutes, right? And that's kind of the, where it tops out at. But it is a lot different. I mean, it really is. And it's funny, you mentioned Joe Flacco, I mean, who, is slinging it around in Cleveland right now. And, we'll see if he is their guy for the beginning of the year, or they decide to go with someone younger or whatever. But it's changed a lot. I mean, it really has. And I think the biggest thing that, I think teams try to wrestle with it, and you made mention of this with the, how the Ravens don't play any of their established starters in the preseason at this point in time. And you couple that with the lack of fully live tackling to the ground that is almost non-existent in this day and age. I mean, you do a lot of what's called thud. You'll hit and rap, and then the whistle comes and you stop. That's why I think you've seen tackling, especially early in the season around the league, leaves a lot to be desired. And it's something that they have to teach it in a different way now. So, it's changed a lot. I'm not going to say it's all for the worse, because so much of this has the intention of trying to make the game safer for these guys. And that, I'm not saying the NFL always has the greatest intentions, but I do think they're trying in certain ways to make the game safer. And there are some drawbacks that come with that. And it might be that you might not have quite as crisp play, and tackling early in the season, but it's where they are. And let's face it, they're not putting the toothpaste back in the tube. They're not going back to two-a-days. They're not going back to tackling to the
As
ground.
much as Harbaugh would like that.
Yeah, exactly. Harbaugh and probably 25 other coaches in the league, right? I mean, there might be a few guys that are, a little more
Mike
evolved.
Vrabel probably wants to hit. He wants to hit.
I mean, so many of these guys. Let's call a spade a spade. A lot of these players would want to hit. But a lot of this is protecting guys from themselves in a lot of cases. I mean, early on in camp, that's the feeling out, but it's fun. Saw Lamar Jackson sign a ton of autographs for 10-year-old kids the other day. And I mean, he's the Beatles to them, right? I mean, he is Brooks Robinson or Johnny Unitas or Cal Ripken to that generation. And I mean, just to see their faces light up. I mean, I hope I never get to the point where I'm so cynical that I can't at least recognize that and say, it's pretty cool. No, it's not the same as it was in McDaniel. It's not the same when my dad was taking me out to training camp in 1996, because we finally had a team after, growing up with, in an era where Baltimore didn't have the Colts anymore. I still try to take a step back and look at that. And it's still, you still see those cool moments.
Well, you'll be out there. We'll be talking about it. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour throughout August. It's our 27th anniversary. I'll be celebrating by sharing my 27 favorite things to eat, my 27 favorite places to eat them. Beaumont will be our first Crab Cake Tour stop. That'll be on the 7th of August. I'll have the scratch-offs, the Lucky Seven Doublers. I'll also have the Pressure Luxe. Our friends at Curio Wellness putting us out on the road this month as well as GBMC. We got a new sponsor. We're going to be talking a lot about the hospital and important pillars in the community and changes there as well. So we got things happening around here. Trading deadline, ramping up, crab cakes, food, summer, delicious peaches and corn and tomatoes. I hope you guys are getting in on all that. He is Luke. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive.